Greetings. I'm Bill Clytie, and I'd like to welcome you to today's edition of Living in Baltimore. Our guest today is Dr. Megan Beal Blatchall, who is Associate Scientist in the Environmental Health and Engineering area of the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. And Dr. Blatchall is here today to talk to us about the Transit Equity and Environmental Health in Baltimore study that just came out, and it has very, very strong recommendations about trying to do something about the inequities that we see in Baltimore. So, Dr. Blatchall, welcome to the show.
Thanks. It's great to be here, Bill.
Well, I appreciate your taking the time to do this. I know you are swamped. First of all, what is your experience and what do you do at the public health school?
Well, my experience at Hopkins runs deep. I like to joke that I gave Hopkins all my money and now I'm trying to earn it back. And that's because I got 3 degrees from Johns Hopkins. And then I went and worked in D.C. on public health policy for a while. And now I'm back at Hopkins. And I'm delighted to be back. I oversee several master's programs in the Department of Environmental Health, and I teach, and I try to also translate the science of environmental health into policies and practice to make the world a better place.
Aside from the study that we're going to talk about, your research has gone in a similar area as this study?
Yeah, you know, so my research, I tend to focus my work on how we can design healthy communities. So, you know, we talk a lot about preventing sickness and death, right? But how do we promote health? How can we make communities that aren't just surviving, but communities that are actually thriving? And so in a lot of cases, that means that I try to work to make the healthy choice the easy choice. Mm-hmm. And, for example, you know, over the past 100 years in the United States, we've designed our communities for cars.
Right.
You know, where do we park? How do we get somewhere? But really, I have a slide I show my students. Cars run on money and make you fat. And so what we should be doing is we should be designing our communities for people, for walking, for biking, and for, you know, using public transit, which encourages both walking and biking. So that's some of the areas that I try to focus on.
Let's talk about the Transit Equity and Environmental Health in Baltimore study that you were a part of. How did that come about, and what's involved in it?
Sure. So it all started about 5 years ago when I met this engaging gentleman, Samuel Jordan, who's the president of the Baltimore Transit Equity Coalition. And the person who introduced us said, you know, Megan works at Hopkins, and she introduced Samuel. He said, oh, you work at Hopkins. And he started telling me all the things about Hopkins that needed to change when it came to transit. And I looked at him, I said, oh, I agree. And he looked at me, you know, as though to say, wait, you do? I said, but I'm not the one who gets to make those decisions. You know, I don't have that kind of position at Hopkins. I said, but let's work together. Let's see what we can do, you know, given where I sit within the organization and, you know, what my areas of expertise are. And so one of his ideas was he said, Megan, I want you to make 4 maps and then I want to put them all on top of each other, overlay them. He said, the first map, I want to look at transit, how accessible it is, how does it get you where you need to go quickly and efficiently and safely. He said, the second map I want you to make is on social vulnerability. You know, where are those neighborhoods in Baltimore that are more vulnerable to health and environmental issues? And then he said, the third map I want you to make is air pollution, because we all know that transit, whatever you do, if you take a bus or if you take a bike or if you take a car, it all ends up contributing in some way or another to air pollution. And he said, and the fourth map I want you to make is on health effects related to that air pollution and to transit. And so I said, okay, let's get a team together. And we did, and we got a small amount of funding from the Bloomberg American Health Initiative. And over a year period, we gathered the data, we cleaned the data, we made these maps, and then, you know, the report just came out. And it identified about 45 different neighborhoods in Baltimore and sort of six regions that really have a lot of opportunity to improve transit. And by improving transit, we hope to also improve people's lives in Baltimore, give them better access to jobs and to schools and to healthcare and to healthy food, right? Because if you improve transit, you give people, you know, all of these new things maybe that they couldn't have accessed before easily.
And that's how the Baltimore Transit Equity Coalition got associated with you?
Exactly.
Please tell us a little bit about the coalition.
Yeah, sure. So BTEC was formed after the Red Line was canceled in Baltimore. So the Red Line was a light rail project that was going to connect East and West Baltimore. And it had federal funding set aside for it, and it had state funding set aside for it, and it had all sorts of support from people all over in the city and the state. And Governor Hogan said, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to send all that money back to the federal government. We're going to tell them no thank you, and we're going to take the money that the state set aside, and we're going to use it to widen highways on the Eastern Shore.
Mm-hmm.
And so BTEC said, well, wait a minute. This is not right. And they formed this coalition, and they actually filed a complaint with the U.S. Department of Transportation, a Title VI complaint, saying that that this was a racist policy, that it was pulling money away from, you know, black and brown people living in Baltimore and putting it into places that were predominantly white.
Right.
But the Trump administration, I think, closed that complaint without ruling on it. So I'm not sure where that complaint stands. But as you can tell, BTEC hasn't gone away. They're still advocating for transit equity in Baltimore.
That's great. That's great. Let's talk about your findings of the study and the implications and what should be done about it. You've mentioned about the four overlays, and what did you conclude? Which neighborhoods, for example? That's one thing we'd like to know right away, I'm sure.
Yeah. So the neighborhoods tended to follow this pattern that we see in Baltimore that Dr. Lawrence Brown.
You mean the black butterfly?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
The black butterfly and the white L. So when we mapped transit, we saw it followed the black butterfly and white L pretty closely. Social vulnerability very clearly followed the black butterfly and white L. Air pollution did not so much, but we think that's because, A, we used data from the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, EPA, and they only have 3 air monitors in the entire city. And so when you map the results of those air monitors, you don't really get very good detail down at the neighborhood or census tract level.
I would think 3 for the entire city.
Yeah. So I think that's, you know, one of my takeaways was, gosh, we need to be monitoring air pollution better in Baltimore, you know. And then the health map, for the most part, the health map also followed the black butterfly and the white owl. We did see some differences in COVID that surprised us. But we think that's probably because the people living in the white owl were probably getting tested at higher rates. And so they were finding more cases in that in that region, but we're not exactly sure why we saw. It was actually a reversal of the white owl and black butterfly. We were seeing higher rates of COVID in the white owl, whereas generally you see higher health issues, more health issues in the black butterfly.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Oh, and incidentally, for those of our listeners who are unfamiliar, the black butterfly, perhaps you should explain that very briefly. What is
sure.
it?
So this has its roots in racist housing policy that really was instituted decades ago, and it had written down rules about who could buy houses in what neighborhoods in Baltimore. It was called redlining. And so there were certain neighborhoods where, you know, blacks were allowed to buy and certain neighborhoods where they were not allowed to buy. And it ended up basically looking, as Dr. Lawrence Brown said, like a butterfly. There's a white owl that sort of goes down Charles Street and then makes a turn on Pratt Street, and that's where the white people mostly live. And then to the east and west of that owl was where the black community tended to live. And to this day, even though that policy no longer exists, it was decades ago that it was put into place, we still see the effects of that. We still see very highly segregated neighborhoods in the city. And in those neighborhoods, we see dramatic differences between how long people are expected to live and how healthy they are and what sorts of jobs they have and how educated they are. And so much of what drives our health is also related and mimics that black butterfly.
Let's talk about the findings and what you would recommend.
Sure. So, you know, we identified these 45 neighborhoods in six areas, and our goal was to say if we're going to be spending federal dollars or even state dollars or local dollars on transit, these are the areas that we think have the greatest opportunity for improvement. And we do expect, especially from the feds, you know, with this infrastructure bill, and they're talking about a lot of investments in transportation, and there's the Transportation Climate Initiative. We expect that there's going to be money to be spent on transportation, and we think that this is a way to prioritize areas for, you know, who should get that money first and who should get more of it and ways that they could spend it. So that's the main takeaway, you know, if you're looking for recommendations about what can be done, you know, by your listeners, I would recommend that they go to the BTEC's website, which is moretransitequity.com. And there are ways listed there on how to take action to let your legislators know that you think that we need to invest in public transit. They have a ballot initiative. They want to bring this to a vote. And so they're trying to get signatures for that. And they have all sorts of ways that you know, and anybody can do something about this.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. We're about out of time. Could you give us, please, some contact information for the School of Public Health and finding out more about the study?
Sure. So to find out more about the study, listeners can go to bit.ly/Baltimore Transit Equity. That last part is all one word. And that's, you can see there's a short 2-minute video about the report, and Samuel Jordan is prominently featured, so you'll get to hear him. It also has a link to the whole report, which is pretty long, but there is, you know, sort of an executive summary at the very beginning in case you only want to read, you know, one or two pages. And then again, you know, if they want to do something about it, then they should go to www.moretransitequity, all one word, .com.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Al. I enjoyed.
Unfortunately, though, for living in Baltimore, that's all we have time for today. I want to thank our guest, Dr. Megan Neal Latshaw, who is an associate scientist in the Department of Environmental Health and Engineering at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, for being our guest today. Thank you, Dr. Latshaw.
Thank you, Bill. Take care.
You too. Keep up your good work for all of us.
Thanks.
And for living in Baltimore, I want to thank you for tuning in. Let's try to be a good neighbor out there in all of our neighborhoods, and we'll see you next time.